this is what we're going to do tonight. Brendan touched on this passage last week. So if you've been coming any length of time to Uni Church, we've been working through John. And we've come to the end of John 6. And Brendan did a large section last week, and he touched on this. So what the staff thought we'd do is we'd close off John 6 tonight by really focusing on verse 60 to verse 71 tonight. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do three things tonight. First of all, I'm going to talk quite a little bit about giving up on Jesus. Not just randomly, but I'm going to look at John 6. And we're going to talk about why people give up on Jesus. Then I'm going to show you three reasons why you shouldn't give up on Jesus. Three reasons why you shouldn't give up on Jesus. And at the end of the talk, as we get to verse 71, there's going to be a little sting in the tail. Jesus just drops a bomb to make us all go, ooh. So that's what tonight will be about. So let me pray, and we'll look at this passage together. Lord Jesus, you know those who are yours. You never, ever give up on your people, ever. Even if it costs you your life. But we are fickle, and we're moody, and we are temperamental, and we are faithless. So let your word now do its work. Work in us to will and to work and to do your good pleasure. Strengthen our resolve tonight to cling unto Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I hate sad endings. I wasn't crying. There's something in my eye. But I really hate sad endings. I hate it when a movie ends on a sad note. I can't bear it. I want my money back. I feel ripped off. I go to bed angry, and I lie in bed and I think, why did Bambi have to die? Why couldn't it end up happier? And so what I do is I lie in bed and I make up my own endings. You know, such a great story, so much promise, and it ends up so badly. And John chapter 6 is just like that. John, if you've been coming with us, John 6 has been an incredible journey. We've seen some amazing things. Jesus has made amazing claims, and he's proved them. Jesus has claimed to be equal with Jehovah God of the Old Testament. An extraordinary claim. I defy you to go through history and see if another human being on this planet has ever made such a claim. Jesus made that claim. Just like God fed his people in the wilderness in the Old Testament, miraculously bread came down from heaven, manna, if you're familiar with the story in the book of Exodus. So Jesus has gone and repeated that. He's miraculously fed people in the wilderness. He's not only claiming to be Jehovah God, but he's proving it. He's doing the same stuff. But more. Jesus has actually claimed to be the bread that comes down from heaven. And this is where Brendan kind of like ended last week. Have a look at this. Here is a passage in John's Gospel towards the end. And it says this. It's just before your section tonight. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever feeds on my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life. Whoever feeds on my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in them. Now, keep that there. This is a picture. Obviously, Jesus is not being literal. It's a picture. But this picture is still meaningful because it teaches us three things. First of all, it teaches us that Jesus must die. What happens when you make a sandwich? You know, it's like all perfect and balanced. What do you do to the sandwich? Well, you absolutely destroy it because you bite it and you chew it and you break it apart. Eating Jesus is a picture that tells us that Jesus has to die. What happens when you separate meat and blood? Is that a good thing? it's a bad thing. It means death. This is a picture where Jesus is saying he has to die, number one. But number two, it's a picture that tells us that Jesus has to be taken in. What do you do with a sandwich? What do you do with bread? What's the point of it? Well, you take it in. Jesus says you have to take me in, not into your tummy, but into yourself, into your being, into your heart. But thirdly, this is a picture that tells us that that's the only way to live. Look around this room. There ain't nobody here who doesn't eat. If you don't eat, you will die. Food from outside of you makes you live. Jesus is outside of you. And he says, unless you take me in, you won't live. This picture tells us that Jesus is the way to live. Bread, literal bread, can keep you alive. I think for about 90-something years at most. Jesus says, if you eat me, take me in, you'll live forever. That's what this picture tells us. And yet, for that amazing picture, thanks guys, look at how chapter 6 ends. It's so sad. First of all, in verse 60, look at what they say. When many of them heard this kind of stuff, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Verse 66 is worse. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. It's so sad. Now, people, these folks, you know what makes this so sad? Is that these people have experienced Jesus' power in their lives. Nobody here, unless you've been to a concert where 5,000 people got fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, has that happened to you? None of you have experienced what these people have experienced. They've literally seen a miracle, and they still give up on Jesus. They've heard, these people here have heard the best preaching ever because Jesus was their preacher. They heard him preach and they still walk away from him. And these people know their Bibles because you, John 6, they actually quote their Bibles to Jesus. And yet they give up on Jesus. Oh my goodness, I hope you're sitting there going, huh, am I going to give up on Jesus? I'm sure you know people who've given up on Jesus. Some of you became Christians when you were yay high. And you had friends. Remember the little girl in Sunday school next to you who had the pigtails, who sang so lovely? And now where's she? She's at HBF Arena off her head. What happened? You know, what happened? It hurts. I'm in ministry, and I can tell you number one pain in ministry is not when they steal your trailer. The number one pain in ministry is when people turn away from Jesus. It hurts. And you know what? It hurts Jesus as well. Look at verse 67. Listen to the pain of Jesus. Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? It's pain. It's agony. So here's the question. Why? Why do people give up on Jesus? Why do you give up on Jesus? And I'm going to tell you, surely it's this. Unfulfilled expectations. Surely that's why you give up on Jesus. Unfulfilled expectations. Here, in English. You want this from Jesus. And he doesn't give it to you. You thought, when you became a Christian, that Jesus would give you this, whatever it is, and he hasn't given it to you. And so your expectations aren't met. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you've got hope in something and it doesn't happen, it makes your heart sick. And when Jesus doesn't give you what you want, it makes your heart sick. And John chapter 6 has got a lot of examples of this, but there are two that stand out. First of all, there are some who come to Jesus with an expectation that he will give them physical healing. So have a look at this passage here in John 6. Jesus answered them, and not just physical healing, that he'll provide for them physically. It's more than just healing. So look what Jesus said. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me. You want to be Christians, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You want this, but I will give you that." You hear? You hear what's going on? What they've done is they've set their heart on they want Jesus to provide for them physically. And he hasn't. He won't. So you become a Christian, right? And you follow Jesus. But then your health deteriorates. And you get this, I don't know, I'm making this up, a painful condition, a sickness that just won't let you go. You are going nuts. Some people really do suffer physically or mentally, and it's horrible. And your great temptation as you suffer is to think this: Jesus didn't come good for me. He's helped everybody else, but he hasn't helped me. What's going on here, Jesus? Why aren't you providing for my physical needs? Maybe it's not physical sickness. Maybe it's just straight material provision, bread in their day. So there you are following Jesus, right? And you finish uni, and everyone else gets a job, except you. And now it's 8 months, and your resume is like everywhere. And then it's a year and a half, and you're just not getting a job. And you're thinking, what's going on here? Jesus loves everybody except me. And it gets worse and worse until some point where you suddenly, and isn't it irritating, when someone who you were at uni with buys their first house, and you're still sharing a house with three slobs, you know? And at some point you start thinking to yourself, okay, I'm never going to own my own place. Everybody else is going to own a house except me, which is not true, because Jesus said he's gone to get you your own place. And he'll come back and take you to your own place that he's got for you. But ignoring that, here's the point. Your heart gets sick. You run out of energy for Jesus. And you start thinking, I can't do this anymore. What is Jesus? And yeah, he died for me. But you're not, you know? And so you start to give up on Jesus. The crowds followed Jesus because he fed them. He gave them physical stuff. And when he'd stopped, they gave up on him. And to people like that, Jesus says, don't set your heart on temporary things, food that perishes. Set your heart on something else, which I will give you. And we'll see what that is. Second reason, second unfulfilled expectation is this: some people give up on Jesus because they've got the expectation of a world free from suffering. I know people who've done this. I know people who've given up on Jesus because of the brokenness and suffering of this world. Can you believe there's a church? And they stole more than $35,000 worth. Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus on Friday night when they were stealing his church's stuff? And people give up. This is what the crowd expected. Look at this verse from John 6. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, I'm going to be a Christian. This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew. What's going on here? Well, when the people see what Jesus can do and his power, they think, woohoo, I'm going to follow this guy. You know why? Because Jesus is going to beat up the baddies. We're under Roman occupation, okay? They were under Rome's, it was horrible. And Jesus is the guy who's going to beat up the baddies. He'll stop people stealing our trailers. He's going to be the king. He's going to beat up the baddies. And yet Jesus just won't do it. He withdraws by himself. And don't you want to say to Jesus, why not ride the wave of popularity, you know, pure surfer? Here's the thing. Why not be like Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela? All those who fight for political freedom and equality and justice, people who beat up the baddies and bring freedom on this life, man, they're popular. Jesus, you could have been so popular. But he won't do it. In fact, rather than be the king who gives bread, Jesus says, no, I am the bread. It's weird. Unfulfilled expectations. No wonder in verse 60, and here's where we start getting into our passage. No wonder in verse 60, after all of that, Jesus has to counter this. Look what happens. Verse 60, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Now, the word hard there doesn't mean difficult. This is not Pythagoras or other mathematical things. What they're saying is, this is offensive. This is annoying. This is grumpy. I don't like what you're saying. This is a hard saying. Now, look at what Jesus says. Verse 61 to 62. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Am I annoying you? Am I bugging you? Says Jesus. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? What does he mean? If you take offense at the idea of me being broken, of me not beating up the baddies, but getting beat up by the baddies. If you take offense at the idea of me being crushed like bread, then wait till you see me on a cross. Because that's what ascension means in John. What he's saying is, wait till you see. Hey. So you don't like the idea of me not being king. Wait till you see me with no clothes on. That's what he's saying. Wait till you see me hanging on a cross. You want me to beat up the Romans? Wait till you see the Romans spitting on me. Wait till you see the Romans pulling out my beard. Wait till you see them sticking me like a pig with a knife and bleeding everywhere. Then what will you think? Will you want me to be king then? See what Jesus is saying? Not only am I not going to beat up the baddies, I'm going to die for the baddies. Jesus, hear me out, has not come to remove evil from society. Don't give up on Jesus because of the bad things and the child abuse and the poverty and the drug. Don't give up on Jesus because of those things. Jesus has not come to remove evil from society. He has come to remove evil from you. On the cross, Jesus died in our place. He bore the penalty we deserve. He died to remove sin from us, to free us from God's judgment. And if you're offended by that, you haven't understood your own heart. Let me put it to you a different way. As long as you think that the problems in society and the problems in the world are worse than the problems in your own heart, you are always going to find Jesus disappointing. Did you get that? Let me say it a different way. You switch on TV and you see Syria. It's a mess. Oh, it's such a mess. As long as you think that what's going on in Syria is worse than what's going on in your own heart, then you are going to be offended by Jesus. Oh, Dwayne, hold on. I ain't bombing anybody. I'm not. I know you're not doing what's going on in Syria. But in your heart lies the seed of every conceivable sin. And Jesus knows this. And he knows that he hasn't come to fix society. He's come to die in your place because of what's in your heart. He died to forgive you. He now lives to work in you, to change you, to shape you, to grow you. Friends, the reason people give up on Jesus sometimes is just like a marriage. Do you know why you'll give up on marriage? I mean, is it amazing? She didn't tell me when we were dating that she's a dropper, that she'll just drop towels everywhere. You know, my dad was a dropper, and now I married a dropper, you know? The reason you battle in a marriage is because of unfulfilled expectations. And it's the same with Jesus. Be clear on what he wants to do with you, what he wants to do for you. Let me put it to you a different way. The only way to be safe with Jesus is to adjust your expectations. Set your heart on the right thing. And what is that? Well, look at the verse again. Look at the verse again. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Don't hunger for things out there. Hunger for me. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever feeds on my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me and I in them. So yeah, I'm going to just cut it short. When you become a Christian, what do you get? What do you get? When you set your heart on Jesus and following him, what do you get? The answer is Jesus. When you become a Christian, what do you get? You get Jesus. That's what he's offering you. He's offering you himself. The crowds in John chapter 6 loved the gifts more than the giver. There's a great scholar, F.F. Bruce, who said this. What the crowds wanted, Jesus would not give. What Jesus offered, they would not receive. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Hear me out. You might find that disappointing. No. If Jesus is your chief treasure, hear me out. If Jesus is your chief treasure, then sickness, poverty, suffering, disappointment, none of those things are going to put you off because you got what you always wanted. Jesus. If Jesus is your chief treasure, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to be disappointed because whoever feeds on him lives in him and I in them. Well, Dwayne, wowza. So how on earth, Dwayne, you don't understand. You're old, you've tried everything and lost badly and even your hair. I'm 22. How on earth are you going to convince me that Jesus is all I need? How are you going to convince me that that's my greatest treasure? How are you going to go to HBF Arena and explain to all those young people, get this, Jesus is better than what you're doing? How are you ever going to do that? How are you going to convince people? People can relate to stuff. So if we at Uni Church say, become a Christian and you'll get cars and health and wealth and the best girlfriend in the world, it'll be crowded. People can relate to all those things. But if your gospel just promises Jesus, well, who's going to be interested in that product? You're not selling a very great product, are you? Who's going to be attracted? And the answer is nobody. I agree with you. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. What is impossible with man is only possible with God. That's why Jesus says what he does. Look at what he says in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And look at this. And he said, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. Jesus said, what's the this? Verse 65. This is why I told you. What was he? He's talking about unbelief. He's saying, obviously no one thinks I'm the best thing in the world. Obviously, unbelief. But don't stress. This is why I told you. No one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. What happens is it's the Spirit's job to change your heart and draw you to Jesus. And he does it through the words of Jesus, that my words are spirit and life. And as you teach the Bible, what happens is the Spirit works in you and he starts to draw you to Jesus. My heart, are so wicked, are so lost. I'm so in love with this world that without the Holy Spirit, I will always think that Jesus is boring. I will always think that Jesus is unattractive. Without the Father drawing me, I will always think surfing is better than Jesus. I'll always think that, unless the Father draws me. Unless the Father draws you, you are always going to think that a jet ski is more fun than Jesus. You're always going to think stuff's better than Jesus. You'll always think that sex is more fun and satisfying than Jesus. You will always think that. Unless, verse 65, the Father draws you. Look at verse 65. This is why I told you. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. It's a bit like a boy. It's like a boy. So half of you are not going to get this, but work with me here. It's a bit like a boy. So you're dating this guy, right? You're dating this guy. He's okay. He's not bad. Treats you okay. He's not great, but it's okay. He makes you feel good about yourself, you know. Gives you fun stuff, you know, baubles and shiny things. And to be fair, it's a bit of a 50-50 relationship. You have to give it back a lot too, but you have to watch the footy and, you know, stuff like that. You're not sure he always tells the truth, but probably. And you're happy. Well, are you happy? It comes and goes. Sometimes it's awesome and sometimes not so great. But along comes another boy, another guy, and he loves you. He truly loves you. And so he starts to try and win you and woo you. And as you get to know him, you realize he loves you so much better. He always tells you the truth, even when it hurts. Ouch. But he tells you the truth. He denies himself for you. When you do wrong, he takes the blame. He never cheats on you. He spares no expense. And in the end, he lays down his life for you. And would you believe it? Because it's such a cool story. It also turns out he's rich. And he leaves you an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Which boy would you rather have? Well, there's a problem. Because everyone's going, duh. No, there's a problem. Problem is you can only see the first boy. The other boy only writes to you. The first boy is so good looking. Oh, what a dream. The world is good looking. But the other boy only writes to you. You can't see him. So here's the question. Who's going to win? Video or audio? Which one's going to win? The role of the Holy Spirit is to work in your heart so that the letters that Jesus writes to you grabs you. And you realize the good-looking world is a lie. It doesn't love you. And it gives you promises it won't keep. Jesus loves you better. Now, the challenge is, how will you stay with him? Do you want to go away as well? I've got three reasons. Very short. Really, really, very short. Three reasons why you shouldn't give up on Jesus. Three reasons. Here they come. Number one, there is no one else to go to. Look at verse 66. So after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Because the boy was so good looking. Off they went with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Three reasons why you shouldn't go away. Number one, look what Peter says. Peter said to him, Lord, to whom should we go? That's the first reason. There is no one else to go to. There is no one else to go to. If you're drifting from Jesus, think, who are you drifting towards? Think about it. Who are you trusting? Let's say you're thinking about giving up on Jesus because you want to have sex outside of marriage. Are you really sure that that girl is going to make you happier than Jesus? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that she can do it for you where Jesus can't? Are you sure? When you look at porn for comfort, are you sure that it's more comforting than Jesus Christ? Are you sure? Look at this passage here from the book of Proverbs. My son, you know, sometimes God speaks to us like a father because he loves us so much. And he says, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Ooh, I do love honey. And her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. It sure didn't look like it at the time. Her steps follow the path to the place of the dead shall. She does not ponder the path of her life. Her ways wander, and she doesn't know it. Now, this is about guys and girls, but Proverbs works like that. Because it's far more. It's anything that draws you away from Jesus Christ. Let's say you give up on Jesus because you have serious doubts about the Bible. Oh, where did Cain get his wife from? Noah's Ark. Now, that is a hard one. But listen, if you're drifting away from Jesus because of those things, who are you drifting to? Which expert are you going onto the internet who's helping you? It's a mate at the pub who doesn't know what he's talking about. Are you really sure that they're more reliable than Jesus? Maybe you just want to give up on Jesus because of HBF Arena and the party. Think of the freedom. Are you absolutely sure that having your freedom from Jesus will satisfy you? There is no one else to go to. I love quoting Sinead O'Connor, but nobody here. Look, she's got same hairstyle as Kaylin, but you won't know who she is. But she sings a song, Nothing Compares to You. I don't think anything compares to Jesus. There's another reason. Secondly, there's no one else who can give you eternal life. Look as the answer carries on. Verse 68, Lord, where are we going to go? Secondly, you have the words of eternal life. Friends, why would you give up on Jesus? To turn from Jesus is to turn from eternal life. Now, the minute I say that, if you're under 70, you're thinking, I think that's a fair trade. You know, I like this life. You know, stop talking about eternal life. I'm more concerned about this life. Don't you know I've got an exam next week, you know? But hear me out. It's only Jesus that can give you eternal life. Hear me out. All of you, even if you're young, have you taken on board that your life is going to end in tears. Have you taken that on board? Nobody dies laughing. You might be crying, or your relatives might be crying. But at the end of the day, this life is going to end in tears. But Jesus gives you eternal life. And not just eternal life, an eternity of laughter, of joy. How could you possibly think of trading or envying those who have their wealth in this temporary existence? No one else can give you eternal life. Don't give up on Jesus. Third reason, no one else is the Holy One of God. Look at it, verse 68 again. Lord, number one, to whom shall we go? Number two, you've got the words of eternal life. And number three, we have believed and come to know you are the Holy One of God. Friends, who can compare to Jesus? He is the Holy One of God, which means he is God himself. When you've got Jesus, you've got God. You've got God. And to give up on Jesus is to give up on God, on the creator of the universe. Okay, I need to come clean with all of you. I once ran away from home, okay? Yep, I ran away from home. I said goodbye to my parents, and I was tired of their rule. I thought I could make it on my own. Now, I don't remember any of this because I was 3 years old. But there is photographic evidence, okay? So there's a photograph, and there I am sitting 3 years old about at the end of the driveway. And I've got all my worldly possessions. I've got my dog. There was this dog that was devoted to me. I had my teddy, and I had my potty, which is all you need, really. Unfortunately for me, the photograph also shows that I needed a poo. And so there I am at the end of my driveway, sitting on my potty, on the verge, with my dog and my teddy. And what's in front of me? An exciting world. A world of opportunity. I mean, whoa, freedom, here I come. Endless opportunities. As soon as I've finished my business. Now, you know what? It's pretty pathetic, really. And it didn't last long. And it's cute. Well, I was three. But taking that picture are two adults who love me. Two adults who are giggling, laughing, taking pictures. I mean, where's the shame, you know? And two parents who love me so much, they will even inflict suffering on me, which is why I'm running away. Because they love me. They adore me. They'll do anything for me, even hurt me if they have to. Why would I leave them? Even more pathetic is the 35-year-old sitting in his, you know, ute at the traffic lights who's turned his back on God. He might as well be a 3-year-old on a potty. There's no difference. It is just as pathetic. He's turned his back on God in exchange, get this, for 80 years of self-determination. It's pathetic. And at the end of it all, he will have not even a potty. Nothing. Friends, there is no one else to go to. No one else can give you eternal life. And no one else is God. The Holy One of God. Don't give up on Jesus. But I want to close with a sting in the tail. Because maybe tonight you've been sitting there and you look at this and go, doh, or whatever you do. I knew all of that. I know all that. I went to Sunday school. My dad's a this and my mom's the Pope's sister or whatever. You know, I know all this stuff. I believe in this, Dwayne. I really believe in this. Listen. Watch what Jesus does. So Peter gives these 3 points to Jesus, okay? Look at what Jesus does. Verse 70, Jesus answered them. This is amazing. Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. But they didn't know that. Think about what Jesus says. What's he doing? So Peter says this, and Jesus says, Bachelor of Theology, cum laude. Dude, you are smart. You've got it right. But what Jesus says is, there are 12 of you. One of you is going to betray me. What would you feel? Oh, it's Judas. No, you don't know that. This is before it happened. You're sitting there going, is it me? All 12 of you are going. That's what Jesus is doing. What he's saying to us tonight is you that stand, you that know the stuff, beware lest you fall. That's the sting in the tail. One of you is going to betray me, says Jesus. I know who it is. Here's the point. What Jesus is saying is cling to me. Don't presume. Cling to me. The sting is designed to make you cling. That's what it is. Dwayne, how do you know you're a Christian? Answer, I became one this morning. That's the way you got to live. What you got to do is every day, if Jesus is the bread from heaven, every day you've got to eat him, feast on him. Every day. You can't sit there saying, I don't need to eat because I ate 3 months ago. You'll die. It's the same with Jesus. What he's saying is, feast on me every single day. Friends, become a Christian tonight. Oh, you already are one. That's okay. Become one again. Every day, come back to Jesus so that you don't drift away from him. One last thing for tonight. Look what Jesus says in verse 70. Did I not choose you the 12? One of you is a devil. Who was he speaking about? Well, we know now, verse 71, he was speaking about Judas. But whoa. There was another one of those 12. And his name was Peter. And once Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. In fact, Judas is not the only guy that betrayed Jesus. Peter also betrayed Jesus. So why isn't Jesus talking about Peter? What's the difference between Judas and Peter? Here's the difference. Peter came back. Judas, what did Judas do? He went and hung himself. If you're sitting here tonight, and you have betrayed Jesus, and you have denied Jesus, please, will you come back? Be like, come back. Don't be like Judas. Don't go hang yourself. To turn from Jesus and not come back is to hang yourself. And you're sitting here tonight, and you're drifting from Jesus. I want to tell you, there's a rope around your neck. And it's getting tighter. Don't do it. Come back. Cling to Jesus. Don't give up on Jesus. Why don't I give you a few minutes to think about those things, and then I'll take a few questions if you have any. So let's just maybe talk to Jesus. Maybe become a Christian. That would be a good thing to do.